Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Israeli officials say a bomb exploded on a bus in Jerusalem today. At least 16 people were wounded in the attack. Another bus caught fire from Jerusalem. NPR's Emily Harris reports. Police commissioner there says there is no doubt it was terrorism, though police are still investigating.
Multiple police cars and ambulances raced toward the Jerusalem commercial area where two city buses burned Monday afternoon. People blocks away stared at a thick twist of black smoke rising into the evening sky. Israeli police spokesperson Mickey Rosenfeld said the bus bomb escalates the current wave of violence.
We haven't seen any explosive devices that have been used over the last 7 months in the wave of attacks, stabbing attacks, or vehicle ramming attacks that have been taking place in Jerusalem.
Two Palestinian militant groups, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, praised the bombing. Neither claimed responsibility. Emily Harris, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Cruise ship company Carnival is threatening to delay its first ever cruise from the U.S. to Cuba. That's if the Cuban government doesn't allow Cuban-born Americans to travel abroad. Carnival initially had told those Cuban Americans they could not buy tickets for the May 1st cruise because the country's regulations bar people born there from returning to the country by ship. Over a written statement today, Miami-based Carnival says it will start selling tickets to Cuban-born Americans and hopes the country will loosen its restrictions. The Italian Coast Guard rescued 108 migrants and recovered six bodies as the migrant tide crossing the Mediterranean seems to be shifting from Turkey to Libya. NPR's Silvia Pajoli reports the latest rescue operation occurred as Italy, France, Britain, and Spain have called for actions to stem the migrant flow.
The International Organization of Migration says almost 6,000 migrants and refugees sailed from Libya to Italy in just the last week. The surge follows the deportation deal between the European Union and Turkey, and it comes exactly 1 year after an estimated 800 migrants died off the Libyan coast when their vessel collided with a merchant ship trying to rescue them. Meanwhile, at a European Union meeting, the Italian foreign minister presented proposals for expanding the current EU naval mission into Libyan waters, if requested by a new government in Tripoli. The proposals include training of the Libyan Coast Guard, as well as upholding a UN arms embargo. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
A mixed bag of quarterly earnings numbers to start the trading week from a big bank, a soft drink and food company, and a toy maker. Morgan Stanley says its first quarter earnings of $1.13 billion topped analyst expectations, though the company's share price has been down this year. PepsiCo says its earnings dipped in the first quarter to $931 million. Toymaker Hasbro topped analyst expectations with a first quarter profit of $48.8 million. On Wall Street, a late uptick in the energy sector helped push blue chips to close back above 18,000 for the first time since July. The Dow was at 18,004. This is NPR. U.S. and Kurdish officials say their forces have carried out a joint operation that appears to have killed one of the leaders of the Islamic State group in northern Iraq. The operation was publicly announced today by the Kurdish Region Security Council and identified the individual as being involved in supervising Islamic State activities in the southern part of Mosul. A Pentagon spokesman declined comment. Ethiopian runners won both the men's and women's top spots in the 120th Boston Marathon. Ethiopia swept all three top spots in the men's elite race and the top two for women. NPR's Toby Smith has more.
21-year-old Ethiopian Lemmy Haley finished at the head of the men's pack at 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 45 seconds, while 29-year-old Atseti Besa crossed the finish line in 2:29.19. Also drawing cheers at the finish line, Patrick Downs, who lost a leg in the 2013 marathon bombing. He clutched his wife, Jessica Kensky, in a long triumphant embrace. Downs downplayed his strong finish as nothing compared to the challenges his wife has been through. She also lost a leg in the blast and recently had the other amputated as well. Tobias Smith, NPR News, Boston.
A duck in Wisconsin has his waddle back. A television station there reporting that after Philip the Duck lost his feet to frostbite, he's now been fitted with new prosthetic feet made with a 3D printer at a local middle school. According to WBAY-TV, Philip's rescuer appealed to a teacher there who, after 6 weeks, was able to make the brand-new pair of webbed duck feet using the printer. Philip wobbled around a bit on his new feet at first, but is joining other birds in an animal sanctuary north of Milwaukee. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.